Our Old Testament reading, if you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or in your own Bible, is from Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Genesis 3, beginning with verse 1. And before we read, let us go into the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, eternal Creator, who on the first day of creation called forth light out of darkness, who on the first day of the age to come brought life from the tomb, grant to us this morning your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that the pure light of Easter morning might shine upon us, that the pure light of Easter morning might shine within our hearts and make us children of light. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, the light of the world. Amen. Genesis 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20. John 20, beginning with verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus was dead. Dead and buried. He had been betrayed by his friend. He had been betrayed by his disciple, Judas. He'd been arrested, beaten, mocked, tried, and sentenced to death. The death of a criminal. The death of an enemy of the state. Death by crucifixion. Jesus was dead. Dead and buried. His body was laid in a tomb in a garden just outside of the city, just outside of Jerusalem. And on the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, early Sunday morning at dawn, just as the sun was rising, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Mary was a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. 3 days before, just 3 days before, she had seen him crucified. She had been there with him when he died. And now that the Sabbath rest was over, now that the Sabbath day was over, Mary was going to Jesus' tomb. Surely overwhelmed by grief, engulfed by sorrow, walking as if she were in a dream, a bad dream, Mary was going to the tomb. Have you ever been there? Like Mary? Mourning. Stricken by loss. Flooded by sorrow. Powerless before death. Hoping to wake up. Well, when Mary arrives, an unexpected sight meets her eyes. The stone was moved. The stone used to block and seal the tomb's door had been moved. It had been rolled away. And Mary's first thought was that someone had taken Jesus' body. Why else would the tomb be open? Why else would someone tamper with it? Now her sorrow was mixed with anger. And wasn't it enough that Jesus had been brutally beaten? Wasn't it enough that Jesus had been mercilessly mocked? Wasn't it enough that he had unjustly been put to death? Why did they now have to tamper with his grave, desecrate his grave, mess with his body? Mary stood outside the tomb, waiting and weeping. Waiting for answers, waiting for information, waiting for someone who may know where Jesus' body was. She was waiting and weeping, weeping out of loss, weeping out of sorrow, weeping out of anger and frustration. And while she wept, John tells us that she looked in the tomb. And as she looked in the tomb, an unexpected sight met her eyes. Inside the tomb were two angels, two messengers of God dressed in white, sitting where Jesus' body had lain, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the feet. Just like the two cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant seated with the mercy seat between them. And these two angels ask Mary a question. They ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Blinded by her tears, blinded by her sorrow, blinded by her anger, Mary did not recognize the angelic presence right in front of her. She did not recognize that God had been at work. She did not hear in the question of the angels a gentle reproach. Mary only recognized the absence of a body. Mary only saw where Jesus' body should have been. You see, Mary was looking for a dead body. She was seeking the dead body of Jesus. And it wasn't there. It was gone. And this is Mary's reply to the two angels. Mary says, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And John tells us that as she spoke these words, she turned around and she saw a man. It was Jesus. Jesus was alive. He had been dead and buried, and now he is alive, breathing, moving, standing right before her. It was Jesus. But Mary did not recognize him. Mary didn't see him. Now, whether she was blinded by her tears, whether she was blinded by her anger, whether it was Jesus' appearance, or whether it was the fact that he was supposed to be dead, Mary didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener come to tend the garden, come to work in the garden. And then Jesus speaks to Mary, and even then, even after he speaks to her, she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't recognize his voice right away. Jesus asks her two questions. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Well, Mary was weeping over Jesus, dead Jesus. Dead and buried Jesus. She was seeking Jesus, dead Jesus, so that she could rebury him. Mary replies, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Then Jesus speaks one word. Jesus speaks her name. Calls her by name. The good shepherd calls his sheep, Mary. And immediately Mary knew. Immediately Mary recognized. Immediately Mary saw. This wasn't the gardener. This was Jesus. This was the one she was seeking. This was the one she was looking for. And Mary turns, and in Aramaic she cries out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This name, this title that Mary had used probably dozens and dozens of times before calling Jesus. Now, this two-word exchange, Mary and Rabboni, this verbal exchange may be the most dramatic 5 seconds in all of history. It may be the most dramatic seconds in all of time, in all of creation. And here you have Mary overwhelmed by grief, Mary engulfed by sorrow, Mary deluged by pain, Mary awash in anger and frustration, flooded by her tears, walking in a bad dream. She suddenly awakened. Brought to life, bathed in light through hearing her name, by Jesus speaking her name, the Good Shepherd calling her name. In those few seconds, Mary's world was turned upside down. In those few seconds, Mary's life was transformed. In those few seconds, Mary was confronted with the good news of Easter. In those few seconds, Mary realized the once dead Jesus is alive. The once buried Jesus is alive. The once crucified Jesus is alive. A new day had dawned. A new age had broken through, and nothing is the same. Nothing will ever be the same. On Easter, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, Jesus was resurrected. Mary was called by the resurrected Jesus. Mary was transformed by the resurrected Jesus. Resurrected. And let's be clear about the Easter message. Jesus was resurrected. He was not resuscitated. Now, resuscitation is when somebody dies and they're brought back to life. Resuscitation is when someone's heart stops and they're given CPR, and they're brought back. But those who are resuscitated will die again. Jesus was resurrected, never to die again. Jesus was resurrected, never to age again. Jesus was resurrected, never to fall sick again. Jesus was resurrected, never to die. In Jesus, death is overcome. Death is overpowered. Death is conquered. That's the good news of Easter, and that's why today is a day of celebration. That's why today is a day of joy, a day of light. Jesus has victory over death. Now, the truth about death is this. Death is a power. Death is an enemy. Death hurts. Death takes. Death is not what God intended for his creation. Death is not what God intended for you. Rather, God intended life. God intended eternal life, forever life, life with him. But death is a result of sin. Death is a result of the fall. And we read about the fall in our Old Testament lesson this morning. Our Old Testament lesson from the book of Genesis. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. It's a book of beginnings. And in Genesis, God created man, male and female, Adam and Eve. God created a garden called Eden, and God placed the man and the woman in the garden to tend the garden, to work in the garden, to live in the garden, and God gave them just one rule in that garden, one. Don't eat the fruit of that one tree. Don't do it. But the woman, tempted by the serpent, Eve, tempted by the evil one, ate. And the man ate. Adam and Eve ate in a garden. They disobeyed God in a garden. The first sin, the fall, and it changed everything. Everything. The result of this first sin was death. The punishment for this first sin was death, and we inherit it. It's the world we are born into, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. And we can't escape it. You can't escape it. I can't escape it. Plenty have tried, and there are many who will continue to try, but death always wins. Always. Death is always victorious. Always. Until Jesus. Until Jesus. He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Now, Mary's mistaking Jesus for the gardener contained more truth than she realized. And here's what I mean. Jesus has come to restore life that existed in the garden, in the beginning, in Eden. He has come to restore the life that God had intended, life without sin, life without death, life with God. The first woman sinned in a garden. And the resurrected Jesus first appears to a woman in a garden. Jesus speaks her name. Jesus calls to her, Mary. And immediately her grief transforms into happiness. Her pain transforms to relief. Her anger to peace. Her tears of sorrow become tears of joy. Joy. Immeasurable, incalculable, inestimable. Joy. Knowing that God has accomplished the impossible through Jesus. And he's accomplished it for no other reason than love. Love. Love that seeks you out. Love that overcomes sin. Love that conquers death. Love for Mary. Love for you. The good news of Easter is for you. The good news that transformed Mary is for you. God has sought you out in Jesus. He knows you. God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your strengths and he knows your struggles. He knows your failures and he knows your fears. He knows your sorrows and he knows your tears. God knows your heart. But he has come to you in person, in the flesh, so that you might know him, so that you might know his heart, so that you might know his love for you. And it's a love that would enter death and overcome it, conquer it. Why? So that you might have life. Life knowing him, life serving him, life with him forever. For the life that Jesus has, resurrected life, is promised to you. It's a gift to you. If you believe in Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, then resurrected life is yours, promised to you. And that life is life after death. And that life after death is a life without aging, without illness, without tears. It's a life with God. And that life can be yours in Christ. Jesus is alive. Death is conquered. And this is the hope that we have in life. This is the hope that we have in the midst of hardship. It's the hope that we have in the midst of suffering. It's the hope that we have in the midst of sorrow. It's the hope that we have in the face of death, in the midst of death. And it's also the joy that we have in life. Immeasurable, incalculable, inestimable joy. Knowing what God has done out of love. Out of love for you. Knowing that the hardship that you face, the suffering that you face, the sorrow that you face, the death that you face will not have the final say over your life. But Jesus will. Jesus will. And he's alive. He is resurrected. Is this your hope? Is this your joy? The message of Easter is this: Jesus is alive, and nothing has been the same. Mary was never the same, and I pray that you will never be the same. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter. We thank you for the love that you have lavished us with through your Son. That through his death and through his rising from the grave, you have given us life. That you have given us forgiveness. That you have given us the promise of resurrected life. Life with you. Father, seal this truth upon our hearts. Seal this hope upon our hearts. And seal it with joy. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.